Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Orlando Soccer Show. It is part two of our two-part Orlando Seawolves special. As in the first part, we talked to Tom Traxler, GM Chris Kokalis, and Tyler Turner. In this part, we are talking to some more players that we actually talked to a few weeks ago, but we won't go over that. We're talking to Gordy Gerson, Victor France, and Louis Neal. Those three guys are going to be talking a little bit about where they've been, where they are now, and how excited they are for the season, especially with their first game, unofficially, coming up tomorrow. That being Saturday, they're playing the Brazilian mini football team at 7:05 over at the Kissimmee Silver Spurs Arena. Tickets still available. You can head to the box office right before the game and get them there if you want to. You can buy them online. You can find ways to get them, I'm sure. So be sure to head over there and check out some good indoor soccer and prepare yourself for the season, which starts at the end of the month. 12 home games, remember that. That'll be going on from the end of November till about the middle of March. And then if they make the playoffs further on. So, without further ado, let's go ahead. We're going to start off with Gordy Gerson. And we're going to go into Victor France, and then we're going to go into Louis Neal to top it all off. Now, just to preface these interviews, these were recorded for my radio show, the Community Sports Report, which airs on Thursdays every 4 to 5 on 91.5 FM. If you want to listen to it ever, it's not all soccer, it's mainly just local Orlando sports, but we do have a lot of stuff on there as well that we don't always get to cover on this show here, the Orlando Soccer Show. So, my friend Ken Jackson, who is my co-host over on the show, he was one who joined me at the Fan Fest over in Kissimmee a few weeks ago, back when the team did their big Fan Fest and had everyone to come out and enjoy the festivities, get some sponsors out there and everything. That was almost a month ago to this point, but we haven't had a chance to really air all of those interviews until now, so sit back. Relax, and enjoy all of our interviews to come, especially with the game coming up this weekend. So once again, head out if you don't have tickets already, and you are able to. And so here, without further ado, is Gordy Gerson.
And we are here live at the Silver Spurs Arena for the Fan Fest event for the Orlando Seawolves. I'll be kicking off in 3 weeks. I'll be here before we know it, November 10th, against the Brazilian National Mini Football Club. And right here we are joined by one of the guys you're going to see running around the field here at the Silver Spurs, Gordy Gerson, originally from the Cedar Rapids Rampage. That franchise is basically come to here to Orlando and come south. So, Gordy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And welcome to Central Florida.
Thank you.
Welcome to the weather.
How are you acclimating?
I'm loving it. Every morning I wake up and I just lay out right by the pool. I can't get enough of it already, and I'm going back to Chicago on Saturday, but can't wait to move
now,
down here.
Now, I know, in talking to you the last couple months, you've been roaming around. You were playing the outdoor game a few months ago in Australia.
Yeah.
And then you were set to go to Mexico for the national indoor tournament, and then that got pushed off.
Yeah.
So your travel schedule is kind of fluid.
Yeah, definitely. And go all over wherever. Whenever, I just got to be ready for it.
So you're in town the next few weeks. You're in and you're ready to go.
Yeah, now I'm here. I'm all Seawolves, and I'm here until the end of the season.
Gotcha. So take me through what the next couple of weeks are going to be like gearing up for that game against Brazil.
The first, obviously, couple days, maybe even a week of training is going to be a lot of fitness and getting the guys, getting the legs going from the long break off, but also getting the new outdoor guys familiar with the indoor style and everything like that. But we're really excited to get started. We've been all texting each other the last few weeks, like we just can't wait to get together, and now we're all starting to come together. It's really nice, and it's good to be together.
Right, and there's almost like two kinds of citizens here. It's you guys that come from the indoor game, like you and Victor France, and then we've got the guys coming from Orlando to play the outdoor game, Bods, Louis Neal. The group of you guys have been playing this indoor game for a while. What do you do to sort of help them acclimate to having boards, playing indoors, having a 9-7 game on the regular?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a lot of mental. It's a lot of mental work and mental toughness. Giving up goals, obviously, in outdoor is a huge thing. But in indoor, you're going to give up a goal. I mean, I've only been a part of one game in my career that has been a shutout, and it was actually with the U.S. national team. We ended up shutting out, Guatemala. But other than that, it's so rare to be shut out in this game. And so you just got to keep your head up and keep your fast pace. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's soccer. So I'm sure they're going to adjust to it real quick.
Now, as far as folks who have been who spent their time watching the outdoor game, how do you tell a fan to sort of acclimate to this game, the speed, the bang-bang nature of it, the line shifts on the fly? Kind of give them an idea on what they're going to see and how to sort of kind of change, wrap their mind around the indoor game if they've been watching the outdoor game for years.
I'd say it's similar to hockey, but on turf. That would be the way I would put it. It's 5-on-5 and a goalie, so it's really fast-paced. You're subbing on the fly. You have two-minute penalties to where you're up a guy, 2 minutes where you're down a guy. It's a lot of work. It's a lot on your legs. It's a lot on your body, but it's all worth it in the end.
Right. Now, you've been at the indoor game for a while. Would you prefer to be playing the outdoor game?
I love outdoor soccer because that's what I grew up playing. But
we all did, yeah.
But in the end, indoor soccer is so much more fun, and it's a great opportunity to hang out with the kids and hang out with the fans and get involved with them a lot more as well to give back. So I enjoy it.
Excellent. Awesome. Good.
Yeah, so coming from Cedar Rapids, you broke a record over there with, 49 points, I think, when you were playing over there. Bringing that experience to Orlando, especially being an expansion team, how paramount is that just to have experience and being at the upper echelon of the MASL game?
To me, it's honestly about the team performance. It doesn't matter if I have 50 points or if I have 20. If my team's in the playoffs, that's when I'm happy. And we were fighting for a playoff spot last year at the end of the season, and that's when I ended up starting to be more clutch for the team and help the team out in ways that I can. And, it's all up to these guys, too. When I pass them the ball, they still got to finish it. So it's just a lot of fun. And, being one of those players is nice and all, but just bringing all the team together is what I like to do a lot better.
And what's the best road trip in this league?
Best road trip I've ever been on was San Diego, Ontario.
Okay, and they're still around. Yeah,
we don't go out there this year.
This league is sort of have a nomad nature to it in a lot of cases. I mean, we're going to the outskirts of Toronto this year. We're going back to Mexico.
Yeah.
We're going literally right down the road here to Lakeland. Where do you not like going?
One place I don't like going is Milwaukee. It's just very tough to play there.
Okay.
But I love the atmosphere there, and they're the team that knocked us out of the playoffs last year. So just another opportunity to play there and hopefully get a win would be great.
Good?
No. No, I'm just excited. Now, are you ready to go? I mean, if I told you to go to bed and you wake up, it's November, would that be cool?
That'd be great.
Or do you need the 2 or 3 weeks to get
ready? I don't even want to go back to Chicago. My flight just takes me there, so I'm going to go pack my stuff and bring my dog here, and I'll be ready.
Dog, sandals, golf clubs.
That's it. Yeah. And all my shorts.
Yeah, because we play golf down here in December, January, February. I mean, heck, the game didn't kick off till 7 o'clock. You got all day, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's a stark contrast from being in Chicago. Instead of being this time of year when it's at 20s and like a 25 mile-per-hour winds, got sun.
No,
yeah.
You just
and you can actually go outside and not feel depressed.
Yeah, you feel more motivated to even just step outside. You wake up, you see the sun. It's not a pretend sun. That thing's real. It's hot out there.
And
so.
Florida in January and February rationalizes August and September, but the problem is, and in fact, we joked about this earlier, is that it's funny, we're playing at a time of year where you want to be outside and playing, but you're going to come inside and play in an arena.
Yeah.
When it comes March and the MLS guys go back outside, it's hotter than hell in a heat wave.
Yeah, exactly, and that's when we'll be heading back outdoors as well. So
you like the idea of all this being new?
Oh, I love it. I think this is going to be a great location for a team. I think, I think the signings that we've made, we have a very good squad and a very competitive squad. I think we're going to be very successful this year, and I'm really excited for it.
I think a lot of people, especially Orlando City fans, are looking for a winner to get behind, especially in soccer and in Central Florida.
Especially after this season.
Yeah.
It's been around.
Now, how much do you follow what's been going on with still in the MLS and Orlando?
I watch MLS, and I stay with it. So
you're a Fire fan?
I am a Fire fan, just
fair enough,
from Chicago, but I like good soccer, so watching Atlanta United right now is always fun. And
right,
but yeah, obviously Zlatan being in the MLS is huge. So,
and your team's got Basti too.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Hey, last question for you, Gordy. What do you see your role on this team as? Because like I said, you're kind of be the gritty veteran who's got the experience in the indoor game, teaching these gritty outdoor veterans, you know, kind of the way around at first. How do you see yourself fitting into this whole framework?
You know, I fit in with most people. That's just my personality. I'm a very friendly guy, but
I can see that.
my plan is to just help bring this team together as close as possible to turn us into one family, and hopefully it just comes from off the field onto on the field, and the results will come.
One family, one heartbeat, one sea wolf. Have you been briefed on what exactly a sea wolf is yet?
Oh, not exactly. Yeah, but I am one, I guess.
There's some dude going around here with fur. So, because apparently the Wolf Pack is going to be you guys' fan group, so, yeah.
I'll have to get the info from them.
There you go. Well, hey, January, February, we do get some days where we get down in the 30s and 40s, so that fur may come in handy.
Yeah,
so.
But he's from Chicago. That's like summer for him.
Oh, yeah, that'll still be nice.
There you go.
Right now, it's 50 there, so.
Oh. Excellent. Well, Gordy, appreciate taking some time. Like I said, we'll see you out there roaming around here in a couple weeks. First time you'll see him in uniform will be November 10th against the Brazilian mini football national team, and then the home opener for the MASL is on November 30th against St. Louis. So come check them out at the Silver Spurs Arena. And
season tickets available now.
There you go.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, Gordy. Thanks a lot.
We're joined by another Orlando Seawolves player, also from the Cedar Rapids Rampage out of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. It's Victor France. Victor, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good. Having fun so far?
Yeah, having fun, loving it.
Now, if we told you that you go to bed tonight and you wake up and it'd be November, would you be cool with that, or do you need the next three weeks?
I would be cool. I would be cool.
It's a recurring theme, I noticed. You guys are ready to get this season started and get rolling and get out there in front of the fans.
For sure. 100% ready.
So now, we just talked to Gordy Gerson a little while ago, and he's another one of those guys from Cedar Rapids. What was the process like of knowing you were coming here from Cedar Rapids?
Well, at the beginning was kind of, you know, because I was a player that got traded during the season to Cedar Rapids. So, you know, I was visualizing already. I signed for 2 years, so I was visualizing already that I was going to be there for 2 years. So at the end, when I got the news saying, you know, the team might be moving to Orlando, at first, it was kind of, you know, it was a shock. I wasn't complaining, of course. You know, Florida, it's a really nice place. Orlando, it's really nice. You know, it's easier for my family to come visit me and everything. So that was great. But it was kind of sad because of the fans down in Cedar Rapids. You know, they were really diehard fans, and we loved them. And we wanted to, you know, we made the playoffs for the first time last year, and we wanted to give them, you know, at least a good goodbye. We tried to, you know, go to the final of the conference and everything, but it didn't happen. But, you know, that was kind of, the transition was fine. To be fair, for me, it was fine.
Right. Now, you, by and large, are now a vet of the indoor game. First of all, would you rather be playing outdoors? Having been in it for a few years, I mean, is this home now, inside an arena?
Yeah, like, for me, I never expected that I would be playing indoor. Mm-hmm. And when I started, I actually fell in love with the game. I've been, you know, since the day I said, you know, I'll be playing indoor, I've been watching a bunch of game, and a bunch of film. I've been, you know, training really hard and wanted to do well in the indoor game because it was a game that, after college, it was actually the game that, you know, opened the arms for me to keep playing soccer. So
and get paid for it. Yeah, exactly.
Was fun. I love to play. I love, you know, to play in front of the fans and everything. But I would love to play outdoor as well. If I could do both at the same time. Not at the same time, but, you know, play indoor season, play an outdoor season, I would definitely do.
Gotcha. Now, you know, you've got some guys on this roster here that are coming from Orlando, coming from the Lions, Luke Bowden, Lewis Neal.
Johnny Mendoza and Tyler Turner.
Right, who they're going to have an adjustment. Tell our fans know here what that adjustment is like going from the outdoor game to the indoor, where you're line shifting on the fly, kind of like hockey, where a 9-7 game is like Tuesday, mm-hmm. And you know the card system where you have man advantages and stuff. Just mentally, take us through what the what the transition was like for you going from outdoor to indoor.
Yeah, the transition at the beginning was hard, and that's what I was saying. When I realized that I was going to play indoor, I just tried to learn everything I could as fast as I could, because I knew, I understood it was a different game, you know. And I was like, I cannot rely on my outdoor abilities to come here and say, you know, I'll be fine. I have to be part of this game now, and I have to, you know. But I think with Luke, Lewis, and Tyler Turner as well, is coming from Orlando City, and Johnny, I think they've been on a high level. They are high level players. They've been on the MLS. They've played. They've seen what it takes to be on the highest level. So I always think for players like that, the adaptation, it's gonna be fine. You know, it should be quick for them, because they've experienced something very high level. So for them, it should be a good transition. What I would help them, the only thing I would say is just try to take in as much as you can, as quick as you can. You know, learn from the guys that have been playing. That will only help you. You know, you're never going to make your game worse. It will only help you. Fair. So that's the only thing.
So now for you coming from Brazil and coming from that soccer culture, you know, football culture, you know, indoor soccer is kind of similar to futsal. Right, so you have a little bit of that, and it's very popular in Brazil. So did you play that as a kid kind of growing up a little bit, and did that make it a little bit easier to kind of understand how to play on a smaller pitch?
Well, yeah, futsal is huge back home. I actually played, but just a little bit. I didn't play much. And but I know for sure from the little I played, I can take that as already as an experience for the indoor game. So guys that have actually played for a lot of years, the transition for them is a lot easier than for guys that came from outdoor, you know, because it's already, you're just adding one player on the field and you're adding the boards, you know. Yeah. Might sound a lot, but for guys that are, you know, coming from outdoor, now you're losing a bunch of players on the field, and then you have the boards, and now you have quick subs, and now, you know, you have quick transitions, you have quick, a lot of, you know, different stuff. So I think it.
How excited did you get when you heard who you guys were going to play on November 10th?
I was excited.
And how much are you looking forward to that? Not just for the fact that it's going to be the first time you guys are going to be putting the Seawolves jersey on and playing, you know, a meaningful game, but that's home. You're going up against, you know.
I know. It's kind of it's a different feeling, obviously, because I didn't expect my first game to be against my national team, you know. So but I mean, for me, like what we say, like as a professional, you know, I could be playing my dad's team. I was still trying to
there
go in and still trying to beat them, you know. So that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm just going to go in. Doesn't matter who we play. I'm always going to go for the win. I'm always going to try to win.
And when it's early, go and see if you can swap a jersey or two.
I mean, hopefully.
Or three. Yeah.
Hopefully. Hopefully we can do that.
So the Brazilian culture here in Orlando and the greater Orlando area is very popular. You know, you have Orlando City, owned by Flavio Gosta da Silva, who's Brazilian. The GM is Brazilian. And you have Kaká, who played here, and Marta currently plays here. How kind of cool is that to be part of that Brazilian soccer culture here in Orlando and kind of following in those footsteps?
And get to add to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
For me, I'm grateful to be part of something like this. You know, I'm thankful to be part of, you know, if we have three soccer teams here in town now, you know, professional soccer teams, and we have Marta, we had Kaká doing it for Orlando City, and just to be, you know, a Brazilian playing for the Seawolves and just kind of falling into that, you know, category or that group, for me, I can't even explain in, you know, in words. For me, it's like a dream from when you're little, you know. If you can just at least be part of a group of people like that, you know, we have guys, we mentioned two guys, one, I think it's seven times best player in the world, Marta. And we have Kaká, the guy that was the best player in the world before Ronaldo and Messi. So I'm like, just to be even mentioned in the same phrase as them, for me, is fine.
I'm going to get to play in the same town they did.
Exactly.
And now here's the thing, because, you know, Marta loves her football. She may come out here. Kaká still lives around here. He may come out here, you know, playing as they're watching. Potentially as well.
Yeah, Marta, if you're hearing this, just give me a call. I'll get you tickets. No problem. Don't worry about it. Yeah. You can come on the field. If you want to play, Get your jersey. We sign you. You play for us. You're probably gonna do well.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure she could.
I don't know if that's your department, but it sounds like yeah, you're all about it. So, real quick, Victor, last question. Like I said, we've got we've got a legion of guys who've played the indoor game for a while. We've got a legion of guys who are coming in new to the game. What do you see as your role on this team? As far as first of all, bringing everybody together so you can make that playoff push. But also, like I said, acclimate those other guys who are new to this game.
Well, I think my role here will be definitely as a leader. I'm going to try to be, a good leader for the team. And what I'm going to try to do is make everyone excel in their talent. So the more people can be comfortable, the more they can get comfortable with the game, the better they can play. That's only going to help everyone on the team and help the whole organization to make the playoffs. So I think that's my role, is to get the players comfortable with the way they're playing, make sure they, they're ready for the challenge that is going to come, because it's going to be hard. It's a first year team. It's hard. But, leading by example, leading, the way I play, the way I lead with the way I deal with the players and stuff, and just help everyone feel good and play their game so they, they're comfortable playing. And make sure everyone wants to win.
And plus, when the game's over in January and February, it's not going to be 20-some degrees like it was up in Iowa, probably.
Oh, in Iowa, don't get me started. It was bad. It was bad, yeah.
And a native Brazilian, I mean, at about 27 degrees, I think you guys cease to exist.
Oh, no, yeah. When it's around 60s, we're already wearing, jackets and
hoodies.
It's already cold.
You'll see that around here, yeah. It's 60 degrees.
Floridians are all wimps when it comes to cold. When it hits 65,
you'll be, exactly.
The heat just thins it out completely.
There you go.
Anyways, Victor, appreciate you coming on, talking to us a little bit about Seawolves and everything. Best of luck in the upcoming season, and I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for inviting me. I hope to see everyone here.
Yep.
He is a former Orlando City player, former DC United player, former OCB player, Lewis Neal. Lewis, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for coming on and spending a few minutes talking to us about what's going on here. So, I mean, the last time I talked to you was at the signing when you were officially announced. It's been a few months since then. What's new with you?
Just preparing and looking forward to the season coming ahead for the Seawolves, to be honest. Obviously, we're all here today gathering for this fun fest, trick-or-treat extravaganza with free food and free everything. So if anybody's out there, you want to come down and come and join the fun, we're over at the Silver Spurs Arena in Kissimmee. In Kissimmee, I guess I'm making sure I get that right.
You will hack off locals if you call it Kissimmee.
Kissimmee,
that's the one.
So no. I do apologize for that.
Well, no, you got it on the first try. Congrats.
Perfect.
Yes.
So yeah, so obviously just looking forward to this event tonight, and then obviously in general just preparing for the season now, starting to get fit, get on the treadmill and in the gym again and getting ready for the November preseason, and then obviously for the very first game, which is, I believe, on the 10th against the Brazilian indoor national team, which is going to be a fun one and really looking forward to.
You really just get thrown to the wolves, don't you?
I know, to be honest. When they
well,
said
he
that,
is the wolf,
like,
throwing himself to, you know. Come on, yeah.
I was almost like, could we not have had a little bit more of an easier test, maybe, just for our first ever game
well,
together?
Especially for some of you guys, like you, Bods, Johnny, and Tyler, you really haven't done any, indoor football. Like this is going to be your first foray into it, like an actual game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's no, getting around the fact that we have no experience indoor in terms of the actual professional league, so it's going to be a whole new thing for us, but. One thing I do know is that we're really looking forward to it and really excited about it, and something that we're all preparing for and getting ready for.
So how has it been preparing, just kind of on the miniature pitch with the boards and the goals and everything? I'm assuming you've been practicing.
I mean, we've been playing over XL quite a bit in terms of that. Obviously, the field isn't obviously as big in a field regulation, but at least has the boards and it gives you that type of a feel of trying to replicate it as much as we can. So that's been fun. That's been good. I mean, it's... to be honest, it's just about trying to keep fit and get into the pace of the game. Because obviously it's quick, short, sharp bursts. You're on and you're off pretty quick. But when you're on, it's pretty constant. And it's almost a different type of fitness compared to what we're used to in terms of a little bit more stamina. This is a little bit more, a little bit different in that aspect. So that takes some getting used to. And obviously when we come up against the competition, the opposition that we're going to be coming up against, it's going to be an even bigger test.
So when you start preparing for games and you know, like scouting and all that, how do you feel that's going to be a bit different from your normal routine of playing, you know, a full 90 minutes outside and in a bigger pitch?
I mean, I'm going to try and prepare as I would as if I was playing normally in terms of my own personal stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that obviously in terms of the length of the games and actually how long you actually play, it's going to be a lot less. But at the end of the day, I'm, you know, 37 years old. I do keep myself in shape and I am pretty fit, I think, hopefully, naturally. We'll soon to find out. But like I say, I've just been trying to keep myself ticking over and making sure that I'm in decent enough shape to be able to handle it and cope with it all.
Now, so you've been working in the indoor game. What? Let me come down here. Is there, as far as the indoor game being new, is there anything that the nuances of the game, anything that you've picked up on, like, wow, this is really going to be fun. This is really going to be, you know, interesting and different and maybe a breath of fresh air than the outdoor game.
Yeah, well, can I go about the things that are not going to be fun first? Because one thing that I wasn't happy with at first when I first tried it, playing the proper rules and playing properly, was the fact that you come off after about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. And I was like, Chris, what are you doing? I don't want to come off yet. I'm not ready to come off. And he's like, no, this is what you do.
Oh, line changes on the fly. Yeah,
you're just coming on and off. And I was like, so that was a real strange concept and something that I'm not used to. But I'm sure as the season goes on, I'll be very thankful for that little bit of a break.
Well, I mean, that could be good as far as physio and cardio, is that you can go full bore for
exactly,
a minute and a half,
for,
2 minutes.
For
and
then a you very get a, short period,
and then you get a,
sure.
And then you get a blow, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's just what I'm not used to. So I'm like, what are you doing bringing me off? I'm not ready to come off yet. But obviously, as the game wears on and it goes on, I slowly got to get the idea and the concept, and it made sense, because when you are on and you're going hard for that 1.5-2 minutes, it's, you know, it can be pretty intense.
Yeah. So and you know, you've got the whole season has already been planned out. You've got the season schedule and everything, and you look at where you're going to be going, and you know, it's always interesting when you see some of the different facilities, because they're not all the same size pitch.
Right.
So you've got some that are bigger, some that are smaller.
Smaller, yeah.
So, you know, like playing in XL, you kind of almost prepare for that and be able to play in closer quarters.
So that's the same with the regular season games as well, like outdoor soccer, because everybody has a limit of what your minimum size field is and what your maximum size field is.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always smaller ones and big ones, especially at the USL level when we play with OCB. You go to some of these baseball fields, they're tiny and tight. So it's going to be a similar concept in terms of dealing with that. But at the end of the day, both teams have to deal with it. Both teams have to get on with it, so that's all you can do is just try and prepare and just mentally make sure that you're ready to go and play on whatever's thrown at you, really.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves playing in New York City, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of MLS, have you been following along with Orlando City at all?
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, I'm regularly out there watching the Orlando City games down at the stadium there and try and keep in much as I can with ESPN Plus when they don't black out the games and things like that. I try and keep up to date with everything going on there, for sure. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are still playing in it, a lot of coaches that I've obviously played with, and I've now transitioned to coaching into that. So I keep a real big a big look on it, and the same with the USL. I try and keep up to date with that, you know, having the likes of Rob and Ant still in there, and one or two other people that I know, Darren Powell over at
San Antonio
and these different teams. So yeah, for sure. I mean, I try and keep up to date with all the knowledge and what's going on, for sure.
Yeah, no, I've seen you out at training a few times for
trying to observe and watch the coaches, watching James O'Connor and his staff, just learning and looking and seeing how people work.
How has it been, you know, with Ginger's coach now? Because obviously you played together not only, it was out in Stoke, right?
Yes, yeah.
Because
yeah,
you never Stoke did play together in Orlando.
No, we were just crossing paths. As I was leaving Orlando to go to D.C.,
He was just coming in,
so we unfortunately didn't get to play here together. But I spent a good, including sort of like youth team and reserve team, I spent a good 4, 5, 6 years with him going through the ranks over at Stoke. So
yeah, so how has it been with him now as the
I have to I always say to him, I says at first, when I very first went out, because obviously I'd never seen him coach, because obviously he'd been at Louisville for 3 years.
Yeah.
And obviously I'd played in games against him, but never actually seen him on the training field. And it was really, really strange to see him on the training field, but actually very, very good in terms of learning and seeing how he handled players, in terms of the way he spoke to them, in terms of how he delivered his coaching points, and actually what he was doing in terms of the way he wanted to play. So that was really cool to see, and something that as somebody who's finishing the game and who's in the coaching side a little bit myself, you obviously take note and you try and take as much information from as many different people as you can in terms of different ways to coach and things that you see and things that you like and things that you don't like.
Yeah, I can only imagine just you know, having a guy that you've played with before, seeing him on the other side? Because I remember talking to Adrian a few years back, and he always used to say that he, you know, James was always basically another coach.
Yeah.
You know, even when he was still playing in 2012, 2013,
yeah,
he was basically just another assistant out there.
It was always the same as a player. He was always a leader on the field no matter what. Even at a young age when he first broke into the first team at Stoke, he was always, even at that young age, he always had them leadership qualities that stuck out, you know, very early on. And he always had a vision and a passion to get to being a head coach when he finished. And he prepared for that many years in advance before he even finished playing, which is a testament to him and how he's gone about his coaching career so far. So
I mean, what needs to change with this team? Because he's kind of inherited the roster to this point.
I mean, I'm sure, obviously, if you ask James, no matter what people think of James so far, the one thing that I do know is that it's hurting him a lot.
I can only imagine.
He's not used to losing. Yeah. And it's been very, very difficult for him in the transition. And I think, like you say, I don't know what's going to happen in the off season. I don't know, you know, whether there's going to be a few changes, a lot of changes. I'm not too sure in terms of how that's going to go about it. But I mean, it's going to be a great period for them to be able to take a breather, settle down and plan in terms of how they're going to move forward in terms of player recruitment, players coming in, players going out, because I'm sure there's going to be one or two at least anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely think they're going to be looking forward to that part. But the one thing I do know is that this club won't accept, you know, what's been going on over these last two or three years, and they're going to fix it until they get it to where they need it to be. And that's one thing that I think everybody knows, that how passionate everybody is involved, from the front office, from the owner, all the way down to the coaching staff. They're all trying to get on the same page and make sure that they're all going in the right direction. I'm pretty sure of that, and I'm pretty sure that they will get it right. I'm confident in that.
Yeah. Well, you got to give him a full season, right?
Yes.
Coming in halfway through, and he's talked about this before. It's just so tough because you don't get a preseason, you don't get a transfer market, you don't get any of that. You just come in and you have to try and fix something that's broken, and you know you don't have enough time. That's very hard to do.
Yeah. If there's one thing that James deserves, it's a fresh start.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So. Just get to the off season, give him some time to work, and
make the team his own.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's shown that, you know. He started with Louisville, which was an expansion team.
Yeah.
He, you know, came from Orlando and was able to start from the ground up. Yeah. And essentially, that's what he will have to do.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure they're going to give him time. I'm pretty sure they're going to allow him to do what he needs to do in terms of decisions and stuff. So, I think that's what will happen. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I mean, like you say, I think you're right. I think he needs to be given a little bit of time to be able to go and put his own stamp on things. He's brought one player in, which is Asquez, that I know of. Everybody else isn't his player, but there's a nucleus of players there that I'm sure will stay, and there'll be one or two probably that go. But I mean, I just like you say, I think the off season and then going into that preseason period of having the grouping together in terms of a proper preseason together, being able to bond, being able to work consistently, because like you say, coming in halfway through the season is always very, very difficult. But knowing James and the character that he is, he will have expected himself to have done better than what's gone on in terms of the results so far, and I know that it's hurting him just as much as everybody else around the place. So I'm just pretty confident and hopeful that things will obviously turn around come next season, and Orlando will get their first playoff berth come next season.
There you go. So last question for you. You know, we talked a little bit about coaching for you, and you have your academy with Bods. First off, how's that been going, and how much of a change has that been, kind of starting your own academy and building that from the ground up, essentially?
Yeah, obviously a massive learning curve. I mean, from a business sense, Bods and I haven't got an absolute clue of what we're doing. If I'm honest, you know, we're not going to go beat around the bush about it. We don't, but we're learning as we go. We have a couple of guys that are down in New Smyrna, Justin and Joe, who are obviously behind it with us. And obviously they deal with a lot of that side of things and help out with that. So we're allowed to, you know, concentrate more on the coaching side, which is what we want to do. Mm. But no, it's going well so far. I mean, it's obviously very early days when I just started it. It's, you know, it's not been long running. So obviously things that we need to improve with it, things that are going pretty well at this moment in time. And yeah, no, we're enjoying it. It's great to have kids. We have an age range of, say, from 11 to 14. So we've got a good little age range. And I think that age you can affect in terms of development. That's an age that we think we can help develop and improve and give them bases, and we don't just talk about obviously the soccer side, we try and talk about life skills as well in general, just in terms of attitude and mentality and preparing themselves for whether it's college or whatever walk of life they choose to go in, discipline and commitment and things like that that we try and install into them. Not just about the technical side of the game and the tactical side of the game in terms of the coaching, but also, stuff off the field, which I think is also important in learning.
Oh, yeah, and you guys have been there and done that, so you kind of have that life experience that you want to impart on the younger generation.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So. Almost good. All right, well, we're going to let you go because we've been chatting for a bit and you've got to go run around and shake hands, kiss babies and all that.
Go and mingle, for sure. Oh, I'm going to have some fun, definitely.
Oh, yeah. So, Lewis, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll chat again sometime soon.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing you in the Sea Wolf Blue here in 3 weeks when you take on Brazil.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
And that is all of the interviews that we have for the Sea Wolf. So, two-part episode, part two of two. Hope everyone enjoyed it. Be sure to head out to the Silver Spurs Arena on Saturday. 7 o'clock is the actual game. There is a game before the game. Not sure if folks realize that, but there is actually another game going on at 3:05. That's going to be Colombia against the U21 of Brazil for the Inter football team. And then you got the 7:05 main event with the Brazil mini football team against the Seawolves. So head out there, check it out. Again, season starts at the end of the month, so plan for that, plan accordingly for all the home and away games, etc. And since this is being released on Friday, check me out as I'm doing the CONCACAF Under 20 tournament out in Bradenton, Florida. You can listen in on CONCACAFGO.com and hear me do some play-by-play for some national team games. So with that, we'll see you next time. And go Seawolves, go City, and all that nonsense. We'll go back and talk about college soccer and all the rest, have a recap episode of Orlando City when all the roster moves are said and done. So prepare for that in the next few weeks. Anyways, thanks for listening to another episode of the Orlando Soccer Show. My name's Austin David. We'll see you next time.